Rally to me, Escalonians! You'll never conquer Ascalon!
Hello, and welcome to Hosts of Ascalon, a Guild Wars 2 podcast, where two enthusiastic fangirls finally sit down with one grumpy pants.
What does that mean exactly?
We stand for the podcast usually. There's stand ups. We stand for the entire thing. Mm-hmm.
There was no sitting. You know?
Okay.
I'm Hashtag, and I am joined, as always, by Hunter and Alona. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, hello. Before we get started, a quick reminder that you can get in touch with us with news, questions, or comments by emailing us at hostsofascalon@gmail.com or on Twitter at hostsofascalon. We usually start things off with Chivos, where we discuss what we've been up to in Guild Wars 2. Alona, would you like to start us off?
Well, yes, I would, Hashtag. Thanks. I don't know why I said it like that. So because it's been 3 weeks since our last show, I wrote many guild missions, but it's easy enough to do the math. We've done three evenings of guild missions. However, during one 2 weeks ago, and they're always fun, but I feel it's worth pointing out that 2 weeks ago, our guildy Festy decided to, it wasn't worth waiting for this other guild that was obviously also wanting the same bounty as we were needing. And she even remarked to me, she was like, I don't care. I'm just going to start it. And she started the bounty. Like, the other team was not ready. Like, the other guild, not ready. And she was, I don't care. I'm just doing this, blah, blah, blah. So they start giving her the gears and we're kind of throwing her under the bus in chat. Like, you can blame Festy for this. It was not us. And it turns out that it was Festy's other guild, one of her other guilds, Friends versus Dungeons. So, of course, everyone was like, oh, that classic Festy, just going around wrecking things for everybody.
In chat, she's trying to throw me under the bus, which is ridiculous. I don't think I did say go. I said we can go. I said we can go. I didn't say we should go.
Yeah, Festy, you said in chat, I don't care, I'm starting it. So you can't throw Hunter under the bus for this at this point.
That's not the only funny guild mission story, because last week we were trying to do Langmar Estate and
trying to deal with everybody.
That's very specific instructions.
You're taking away my whole what we did this week.
Okay, fine.
Let Hashtag have that story.
We will wait for Hashtag.
However, Festy asked us if we could make reparations by saying that Friends versus Dungeons always welcomes new members. They're an active guild. And if you're interested, you can contact S.Z.G.4359 or Artsja, ARTSJA, .7284, and they will welcome new members.
That's kind of, I guess, a plug for if you enjoy bugging Festy, then join this guild.
And you know they do guild missions.
Okay, I'll talk now. So I don't understand why anyone in this game gives out like really complicated account names like S.Z.G.4359. And they could just, character names will do just as well. You can type in a random person's character name that they're not even online with, and then you can send them a mail or message them.
You've shown them. You've told them a thing or two.
I'm just saying, you don't have to give out account names with numbers no one is ever going to remember.
All right, so the next thing that I did in game is I actually hit my 28.5k chest. I don't think it's a big thing. Like, I think that was like 2 gold, so like dailies, but took me months to get there. And I finished Soul Beast, and so the last elite spec that I need to finish is Renegade. I'm pretty close to finishing that one. The Soul Beast one, however, was a lot of fun because we did it like an all char group. So you were on your ranger hunter, and Zero and Panther were on, I can't even remember what they were doing now. I always forget people's professions. But yeah, it was fun being like four char rampaging across.
Yeah,
I was on Luna.
My dragon hunter.
Oh, was it dragon hunter? Sorry about that. Clearly, I don't remember people's professions. I ran a couple legendary bounty runs with relics. I think I came in late for basically both of them. Normally, like Hunter would let me know saying, hey, relics is doing this if you get on in time. Was it two or three, actually?
I don't know.
Okay. So those were good. I certainly hadn't done, for as much as I really like the bounties and was really excited about the bounties before Path of Fire came out, I actually hadn't done much of the bounties. So this was new for me and I quite enjoyed it. And then after one of those runs, a few of the relics people went into T4 Fractals, excuse me. And I hadn't been able to go in T4 quite as much as you guys have. So that was fun. I took a tier of Alba. Is that mm-hmm. the one?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I took one of those just to make sure I wasn't going to be too much of a liability when it came to agony resistance. And in the end, I got a few ascended trinkety things, but nothing like super spectacular. Oh, wait, no, I got a fractal shortbow skin too.
What is your current AR?
Mm-hmm. Shrug emoji.
It's like 130 or 135 or something like that.
I think it might be higher than that, actually, but I'm not 100% sure. I bought 25 keys when they were on sale, because sale, and I used 10 of them, and I didn't get much to write home about, just like a couple, like one of the Black Lion weapons that I'm holding on to, because, of course, now that people are getting them out of the chests, the price has really dropped on them, so that's getting parked for a little bit. I may use it, I may sell it, I haven't decided. I can't even remember what it is right now. The Bloodstone. That's why. It's the Bloodstone Greatsword, and I have that entire set, so there's no point keeping it. I wrote down on my calendar of things I did a synchronized mount dance on the 19th, and I have no idea why I did that. I don't know what it's in reference to.
Basically, I think you just thought that it would be cool to have a dance emote on your mount
right.
and be able to synchronize it with other people.
Thank you for remembering why I write things down. Yes, you can do a synchronized, if mounts had dance moves and you could synchronize them, that would be a lot of fun. That's what I was thinking. What is the last thing? I started the Chairs of the World achievement. I only got, I think, the 6 from the guild hall that we had available, and that's it for right now. I'll do it soonish, though. And finally, while I went to Lion's Arch to look for some chairs there, and I happened upon a lost rat, and I was in chat, I think it was you and Zero Hunter, and I said, what's this lost rat? Is that new? And you guys said, go to Hooligan's place. Like the cavey area in Lion's Arch. And so I went there and I saw the NPC that's an homage to Ravius. And I put two and two get together with the rats. And I got a little, misty-eyed. And my husband noticed, my husband Cal, and asked me why I was tearing up. And while explaining to him the backstory and what this was, I full-on started ugly crying, explaining the whole thing. And he took pictures. Not only that, they're live video, so you could actually see them in motion. And they are not flattering. I had no idea I looked like that when I was ugly crying. Like, it's... The phrase ugly crying is a thing.
So for those who don't know, why don't you explain why that you would tear up over Ravius?
Oh my God, why are you doing this?
Okay, I'll do it. I don't want anybody to start crying in the middle of the show.
I can try, but I can't.
I'll do it. I'll do it.
Okay.
So Ravius was a blogger at Kill 10 Rats for many years. I was like one of the big MMO blogs that had a bunch of different writers. And last year, Ravius passed away from cancer. And yeah, so they had this little homage to him in game now.
Where you have to find 10 rats and save them and send them back. And it was beautiful and sad.
Mm. Okay, so
I made it through that. All right, that's everything for me.
And I guess it's my turn. So I did T4 Fractals before and after reset one night, and then that time with Alona, and I don't think I got anything good. I made about 12 gold in the before and after reset one night. So, I would say that usually it averages out to about 6 gold for T4 Fractals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever gotten ascended head or shoulders or hands, and that's like my biggest complaint because I'm only going into T4 Fractals for those ascended armor drops. So I never get them. And I guess I hadn't been in there since they changed the My Trin Fractal. So they took out the old bombardment mechanic, which I have to admit was getting, kind of old.
Wait, is that the part with all the circles?
The red circles,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, the circles are gone.
What?
Sort of. You have to kill Horik now, or at least fight him until the Mitren comes back. I forget how that works. But it's pretty different. It was slightly more hectic, but I think that was just because I was unfamiliar with the changes. I think it'll be pretty much back to normal as soon as I get used to it, as far as difficulty. I did a couple legendary bounty runs with Relics of Horror, around 12 of us both times. Everything went very smoothly, aside from a couple things. We had to start in Vabby and work our way to Desert Highlands due to other groups taking the legendary bounties and doing the legendaries while we were trying to do it.
Okay.
And why do I hear a garbage truck outside someone's house? Was that
it's Alona? Not my house.
That was Alona, I think. Hashtag?
No.
Okay.
I went, mm-hmm. Maybe my acknowledgement of your speaking sounds like a garbage truck. I don't know.
I swear to you, in the background, there was a garbage truck. Anyway. And the other thing that kind of slowed down our bounty train was that, which was actually pretty quick because we were pretty organized, is that people just were not going out and getting the waypoints. And I have to, recommend that if you're gonna join a train like this, please have your waypoints ready and don't force people to wait for you, because that's slightly annoying. Anyway, I got about probably 100 elegy mosaics from all the bounty hunting and finished the weapon collection. I had finished up the armor collection ages ago, since the armor pieces are all much cheaper. So I'm done with all the funerary stuff, and I don't have to do legendary trains anymore, I guess. Probably didn't need to do the legendary train with Relics of War, but
it's fun.
Yeah. And if people don't have a guild, there's always a legendary train in the LFG, especially on the weekends or busy nights. So aside from that, I bought the branded mount skins pack. Spent a bunch of time dyeing mounts for my characters. How did you?
You were playing Fashion Wars?
Oh.
I would not say I spent anywhere near as much time as you two do dyeing anything. But, yeah.
It's true.
What did you guys think of the mount skin pack? Or my dye jobs?
Phrasing. And...
my dye jobs? What's wrong with my dye jobs?
I don't know. It seems wrong somehow.
Yes.
It would be if I'd said my jobs.
Oh,
or
no,
my...
No. Nope.
your branded dye?
Yeah. Do I do a good job?
Yeah, they look really good.
Mm-hmm. I thought so too. Okay. I finished all the achievements in Sandswept Isle except for the backpack until yesterday, anyway. Which that one was blocked by an event being disabled until very recently. And five or so story achievements. I tried to do the golem boss in the Olmecan village in under 3 minutes. I did that like two or three times, and it kept bugging out on me and Festy.
Okay.
Like, the timer wouldn't start, or we wouldn't even get to a phase where he would be vulnerable. It was ridiculous. So that was annoying. Of course, Festy just kept at it until she got it by herself. Thanks, Festy.
Without you.
Without me. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. Spent a lot of time working on the backpack, of course, doing all the events related to it. It was fun to an extent going back to like all those old events in POF, and got them done pretty quickly with all the people doing the backpack stuff. Didn't really have any trouble. But yeah, I had a medium amount of fun. Finished.
Medium amount of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like, oh my god, I'm having so much fun, but I was...
Are you ever like that, though?
No.
See, so the curve should just... Anyway. Sorry, go on.
Finished two achievements tied to one of the Griffin Mastery adventures in Istan. I had apparently forgotten to finish it. So I got that done.
Oh.
Have you...
Which one's that?
The Griffin Master. There's the Expert and the Master, Griffin Master.
Yeah, for each map.
And I had forgotten to do one of them. I forget which one.
Okay.
I had a Black Lion key drop out of the blue, and when I used it, I unlocked the Fire Breathing Bow and Fire Breathing Quiver. The bow.
What?
The bow is fantastically huge.
Oh, yes.
It is huge.
Yeah.
And I'd say too large for any of my characters to actually use.
But it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I also bought 5 keys.
Well, congrats.
When they were on sale. Well, thank you. Bought 5 keys when they were on sale during March Madness, and really the only thing I got was a guaranteed wardrobe unlock. Yeah, it's still in my bank because what? What are you laughing at?
I bought 5 keys and all I got was this lousy wardrobe unlock.
Great.
I was trying to figure out what a GWU was in the show notebook.
How come nobody uses that abbreviation? Because every time I say GWU, people are like, what's a GWU? It's like the most annoying thing to type the entire thing out. You'd think it would be
talking about here.
Abbreviating guaranteed wardrobe unlock.
Oh, okay.
Jesus.
I'm not, well, I'm not reading along while you talk, so I didn't know.
Or listening. There's an achievement called 3 Golem Monty, which is for completing this Golem Eye Exam in Windswept Isles. Mm-hmm. Or is it Sandswept Isles? Sandswept Isles.
Sandswept.
Sandswept. We keep saying Windswept.
See? It's not just me.
So it's...
No, it's all
it's
of us.
It's 5 rounds where 3 golems appear in the first spawn, and yeah, and one gets hit by lightning, and then you have to chase it around and make sure that you interact with it and only it. And then that doubles, and then doubles again, and then by the end you're trying to track like 20 golems or something. And only if through all 5 rounds do you only interact with the correct golem, do you get the achievement. And I got it on my 2nd try, and I'm actually kind of proud of that, because a lot of people were complaining that they couldn't get it, that it was impossible. So,
yeah,
that's cool. Okay, so I finished the 2 new achievements for the most part, the Kill 10 Rats thing and the chair thing. Except I don't have the final chair because it was bugged. I don't know if they fixed it yet. I spent a bunch of time gathering the new resource in Sandswept Isles and popped into the meta event to farm karma whenever it was up. Without even trying too hard, I would usually make about 15,000 karma per event. So,
wow. Did you see that they adjusted that?
Well, they adjusted the champions, what? And I wasn't really farming the champions, so I'm fine with that, I think. Depends on if I could still make that much karma.
Do you have all of the karma boosters, the... Is it, what, times 3 or something that's the maximum? Or do you just have...
I have the first 2.
Yeah.
So, aside from that, I crafted 6 Tribulation Mode clouds in the RO Guild Hall and blocked off the hallway to the crafting station.
Because that's what else would you do?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, for the most part, it was just the usual stuff. Some World vs. World, a dungeon, some hero point hunting, guild missions, and dailies. So that was what I did this week? Hashtag.
So let's see. I did my dailies mostly, with a few days off, more like a week, due to the plague, which is also why we did not record last week.
And the only reason.
And the only reason. The only one.
It had nothing to do with a patch this week.
But I'm better now. So, while I was sick, I unashamedly got addicted to Sims Mobile. So, what? I know, it's cringy, but it's so much fun.
Is
and
it free?
Relaxing and chill and free. Yes. And I like playing with genetics. I like playing games where, you know, you have babies and you try to genetically get the kind of kids I don't know. It's weird. Fun. Anyway, but I'm back. And so I was super excited. New Achievos. Woohoo. This week. Mm-hmm. I'm working on becoming a couch potato with the chairs. Hopefully going to finish it soon after the bug fix goes live. There was an update tonight. I didn't see if they fixed the chair. Did you see it, Hunter?
Festy saying that they fixed it.
Good to know. I'm also looking forward to completing the rats achievement. That sounds... I know. So was that... is that something that you need to follow a guide, or is it something that you can do on your own?
You can do it without a guide. I did get tips for a couple of them from... like Hunter or Zero, but yeah.
Oh, good.
You can do it without a guide.
So I caught the tail end of the mission, our guild mission, on Sunday. And we had an epic Langmar escape adventure in true mock style. Poor Hunter. Comments including, is this my curtain? Wait, why are you at that curtain? Why are you standing in the middle of the room? Why is no one listening to me? Why is everyone listening to me? I was only talking to you. So, yeah.
You were so excited. And also, I would like to say, prior to doing this one, I said, I don't think we should do this one. And it was like, Hunter and everyone else was like, no, we should totally do it. I'm like, I don't know. It's always, the curtains take a lot of coordination. Like, no, we can totally do it. And so then I was like, see, this is... I mean, we did get it done. It was fun, but I questioned whether we'd make Hunter angry or not, and we totally made Hunter angry.
If you could just follow instructions, like, oh my god, like, and the thing that
you were very
the thing that perturbed. Really irritates me is that we've done it before, but nobody remembers anything about how to do it. Except for me.
Although, to be fair, once was my fault, sort of, because...
You popped your portal.
The portal.
Yeah.
Too soon, so...
Yeah.
We had to wait, so...
We also had someone there who was in our guild, but who wasn't in the...
Discord.
No, not even that. Wasn't even in... the squad.
Oh,
so
that's right.
Actually what threw me first, because he was standing at my curtain, but we had no way to communicate that. So
I thought you were throwing Bootspur under the bus. That.
No. Boots was great.
that worked out well.
We
so
did
well.
Okay, so anyway, I finished most of the Sandswept Isle achievements since our last episode. I was almost done. I had a couple more left to do, and I've done most of those. I just need to do the backpack. And I've been putting that off because time-gated stuff is just not my friend this month, and I put it off, and I forget to turn things in, and then it's just a pain. So, haven't done it yet. Don't really feel like I need to rush to do it, but I do want to get it done because I know that when you wait with these sorts of things, if you need help finding parts or completing events, sometimes it can be all the more difficult because people have moved on. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to wait too long, but I'll get to it.
Not like me.
And I'm super looking forward to Super Adventure Box this year because I have given in to taco love. Right, Festy?
Cheaters.
Yes. And I can't wait to try it in tribulation mode.
I notice how there's no mention.
Also, you have a mouse.
No mention of using Taco during the guild races. No mention of that.
Well, you know.
Well, we're not overly competitive about that. We want everyone. Actually, since we want to complete them, it works out well for the whole guild.
Yes, that's right.
Turn that negative into a positive.
Festy and I are the designated drivers.
I do.
We, you know.
you're the tacoist.
Yes, yes, yes. So I think I remember last year when we talked about SAB, me saying kind of, it's okay. And I didn't really like it that much. But now that I have a PC and a mouse and I'm, you know, sort of playing sort of normally, I think it might be better. So
and cheating.
So so I'm excited. I think it'll be fun. I'll have to give it a try and see if it goes better this year. Hmm. And that's it for me.
All right. We're now going to move on to Votes of Ascalon, which I introduced, which I shouldn't have. Every other week, we post a poll on Twitter for what we call Votes of Ascalon. This past poll, we asked, what's your favorite Sandswept Isle meta? And the options were Specimen Chamber meta, Storm meta, Ambush meta, and Party Boat meta. And Party Boat meta took it, because Party Boat is best boat.
Best meta.
Best meta. The second place was Specimen. So that was at 48%. 36% of respondents chose Specimen Chamber meta. 14% did Storm meta. And 2% said Ambush meta.
Who said Ambush meta? Who? I mean, who really likes Ambush meta?
I don't know. I have no idea. So I wanted to also, we had a spectacular showing. We have 42 votes for this particular poll. It was a lot. Beating people off with that one. So, Hunter, what did you vote for?
I voted for Ambush meta, and it's truly best meta. 2% is literally, that is just me who voted for that.
Were you going to
It's your section, dude.
Well, I thought maybe you'd want to. Okay, so Hunter replied, I voted for Ambush meta, truly the best meta. And Penny Quinn replied, well, that came out of nowhere. Ba-da-bum-ch. And hashtag, I take it you voted for Party Boat. That's also what I voted for. Because Party Boat was fun. And Coffee and Quest said that they still have yet to find ye old Party Boat. Maybe today. And there are quite a few people that did not know about Party Boat, that we had to post all sorts of pictures about Party Boat.
It's really great because can put vendors on the boat and they don't stay in the water. They move with the boat.
Well, I used the, what was it? The crafting station for the, weapon stations or armor stations? It was armor stations. And two of them were left in the water for hours.
And the other one just floated with the boat, and the other two.
Yeah, we had all of our kites out, and
And now it's time for Posts of Ascalon, where we discuss the latest news in Guild Wars 2. First up is the March 27th release notes. So we're getting the Super Adventure Festival. Modo's world-renowned Super Adventure Box returns again when the Super Adventure Festival kicks off on March 29th. Explore two worlds of excitement, peril, and education, educational entertainment to earn holographic weapons and a variety of loot. Mm-hmm. So that begins the 29th, although did you guys notice that they accidentally released a few things first?
Yes. Well, Alona's been hearing mount sounds, right?
Mount sounds, really?
Well, so I was doing Crichton Lumber today for dailies shortly before reset. Mm-hmm. And whenever I leapt with my raptor, it went, yee-haw!
But I have the resplendent raptor, so it was very, like, the disconnect between I am elegant as crap and yeehaw. It was very...
Also, the angry cloud, tribulation clouds, are new, so they released a bunch of decorations for the guild hall early, and well, there was something else, wasn't there? Oh, then...
The node, right?
The node? Yeah. Can you get the node?
I feel like you can get it now. I thought I heard somebody talking about it.
Yeah. So there's that. So yeah, that starts on the 29th and finishes on April 19th. There's going to be a new achievement category, Super Adventure Box Nostalgia, and it contains repeatable one-year achievements for Super Adventure Box.
Actually, just before we go too further into this, I thought it was a little bit odd, and maybe because it doesn't technically go live until tomorrow. Previous years, they had a page. Guild Wars 2 had a page for the event, and there isn't one this year. So do you think it's because it's not live till tomorrow that it's not up yet?
Possibly, but who knows?
Because I had to go to last year's to pull images for the stream tonight, because they did have an event page last year.
Cool. Moto's inventory of rewards has been split into two ventures. What is so funny? Moto's inventory of rewards has been split into two vendors accompanying him outside the box and inside the hub area. New super consumable items are also available. I saw a preview of some of these. I'm not really sure what it means, but it should be interesting to see. There's a new race event has been added to the Super Adventure Box hub. Show off your progress in jumping-based education. And portals leading travelers to the Super Vendor Box Hub have been temporarily activated in all major cities for the duration of the festival.
Oh.
Enjoy the sights and sounds of Radisim's most popular invention, but remember to play safe and avoid violating Peacemaker regulations.
Do we know what those are? Do we get told what they are? Shouldn't we be told what they are if we're supposed to follow them?
I know that going outside of the bounds of Radisum gets you sent to jail.
Well, have you been in? That's an individual rule. That's easy.
Have you been in the Radisum jail?
Yes.
Okay. Rule breaker. But yeah, that's new. Put portals from the other cities. I don't think they had that before, did they?
No, that is new. No, that's very new. Interesting.
So they fixed a bunch of bugs. Moto's bug fix list. Players who have beaten World 1, Zone 1, will now see a shortened version of the opening scene when entering that zone. The full scene will always play in infantile mode for the enjoyment of progeny.
Love
the,
that.
The slash resign command can now be used in Super Adventure Box's worlds.
Is that the same as slash GG?
Yeah.
Okay.
Many concealed spear traps in tribulation mode will now become visible after taking a player's life. So that's a great fix, because the same traps could potentially kill you over and over again. fixed a bug that caused putting away Super Vendor Box tools, such as the bomb, to break stuns. Instead, the upgraded health potion will now break stuns. So some added functionality for one of the skills there. Going to skip a bunch of other bug fixes, and we'll just do this last one. Master jumpers who find themselves with an excess of tribulation mode trophies can now exchange them for baubles with the vendors. So that's cool. A reason for people to continue doing tribulation mode if they've already finished.
Yeah. Sounds good.
I think I'll leave the next part for hashtag.
Yep. All right. Now we're moving on to World Polish. So for the sand-swept isles, objects connected to Ewin?
I was just been saying Ewin.
Ewin.
But I don't know.
Ewin. That sounds good. Ewin stories can now be found around respective graves.
When I did this, there are these like items that are supposed to symbolize like his lost friends.
Yeah.
But I didn't see any of them except for maybe one of them.
Those are the Cairns, right? Don't you kind of go up to the... Yeah.
Well, there's supposed to be an object on the Cairn.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't really see that. So that's good. Increase the health of specimen chamber bosses by 30%. I'm a little intrigued by this because I would think that as, you know, the weeks go by, there's going to be less people doing that meta. So why are they increasing the health?
I guess it was just too easy or something.
Hmm.
And that's like Arena's default way to make things harder is to add health.
Also, it's not like they can't reduce it again once population falls in
maybe
that area.
It just, I feel like it's just going to make it a bigger health sponge and I don't know. Oh, the other part though is if it takes longer to kill the specimen, then would that mean that it would spread out a little bit more, or do those happen on a timer? I'm just wondering about, like, would that have impact on people who are farming the pre-event? Would that happen less often if it takes longer to kill the boss, or
I don't know.
Is it on a timer? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know either.
So there is also improved tracking of the 3 Golem Monte achievement.
I assume that means that they made it easier after I got it, and now I can't really brag about it too much.
Oh.
You can brag that you got it. Before they changed. Well, did you? When did you do it?
I got the achievement before they fixed it.
Yeah. Okay. Fixed an issue in which the first race gate wouldn't turn green if players joined the race late. I had this happen to me many times, but it also happened when I didn't join the race late. I joined the race on time. I would leave, you know, it's go. I would make sure to wait until it was a full go. Mm-hmm. I'd go through the gate and it wouldn't turn green.
That happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Happened to me. It's happened to me in Path of Fire races, not just Sandswept Isles.
Yeah. Hmm. They also moved the race crier so that he was visible. And this is important to me because it took me a while to find one of the races because he wasn't visible all the time. Like, I couldn't find where the race was starting. So I'm glad that they're...
Like, what do you mean he wasn't visible? Like, I don't understand how...
He didn't have the icon above his head?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So I wasn't sure where we were supposed to be. Adjusted the creature difficulty scaling for the Specimen Chamber's vault door event. The most noticeable change is that fewer champions will spawn at high scales. So I guess they're trying to cut down on the farming of champions at the specimen chambers. So fair enough, I guess. Although I think it was good for keeping people in the zone. So
yeah. Well, but I mean, it's a bit of a trade-off. Like, they had the champ farm in Queensdale taken out, but it was good for population.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Moving on to Blood Tide Coast. Enemies in the Kill the Risen Commander events will not appear if the player is using a glider or a mount, preventing them from appearing in midair or being unable to catch the player.
Interesting.
So, I don't know if you guys remember, but this is the event where after you finish Claw Island, undead gets sent down to kill you.
Yeah.
And they appear randomly wherever you happen to be. So if you're up in the air, apparently they were spawning in the air.
And falling or just like hanging out there?
I don't know. So
it's kind of fantastic.
But this is the event where the undead guy comes up to you and mentions your mentor from one of the orders and throws it in your face somehow. I forget how it goes exactly, but yeah.
All right.
And then you lose them.
And in Caladon Forest, adjusted the area around Spelunker's Delve that disables mounts, and mounts are no longer allowed around Morgan's Leap or in the Dreamdark Enclave. Which
makes sense.
Yeah, because you could just bounce up to the end on the Springer. And Yeah.
Dreamdark Enclave is supposed to be like one of the harder early level jumping puzzles, and people were just going around to the back and springering up and stuff.
Yes.
Yep.
People did that.
People.
I don't know. I don't know whoever did that. Those terrible, terrible people.
There are still going to be people portaling people up to the end. Always. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then for the Crystal Oasis, fixed a bug that could prevent the rescue refugees forced into labor in the Zephyrite Mine event from restarting correctly.
That was an event that was tied to the backpack. Then you have to go and rescue separate mines, but they fixed it.
Good enough. Cool. In Mount Maelstrom, the mastery point that was out of reach has been moved to a new accessible location. I don't remember this. Did I get it?
I don't either.
I mean,
I saw I saw a bunch of people complaining about it the other day because that mastery point in particular is tied to a collection of some sort where you have to charge something at the mastery point, which is kind of rare, but it happens, and people couldn't get to it. So, yeah.
I feel like I have all the mastery points, so I'm not sure.
Which one? Do you know which one it
was? It's one of the new Tyrion mastery points that they put in right before Path of Fire came out.
No, but what location do you know roughly?
It's in the volcano somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Huh.
At the top, I got it. I can't remember.
Well, yeah, I don't know if I have it either, to be honest.
We'll have to check it out. Check. So in general, the hero panel now opens to the tab it was on when it was closed.
Which is amazing.
It is so good.
It's so good.
It's little things.
It's really, you know, yes. Performance improvements have been made when opening the equipment tab of the hero panel, especially for players with a large amount of wardrobe unlocks. Merchants that wait. What?
We're moving on?
Well, I thought that's all we were going to say
about the hero panel.
I thought they were related, but now I'm a little confused.
Okay. Well, there should be a bullet there.
Okay. Yeah, but performance improvements have been made when opening. So what are the performance improvements then?
It just runs more efficiently, I think. There's no lag when you open it up anymore.
Hmm. Okay. No. Merchants that change what they offer every day should have a better randomization of their available items. In some cases, this may cause them to offer items they've never sold before. This means you, Priory Historian Elisa.
Who I've only ever found once, to be perfectly honest.
So she sells the Bounty Hunter Helm very rarely, and people were complaining a lot that they couldn't get it.
Okay. So. Is it for an achievement?
Or a collection.
Okay.
The recipe to make a Bounty Hunter Helm and, a collection.
Yep. Mesmers will no longer earn the Master Scrapper achievement for entering their home instance.
I'm making a what's with this? This was a thing?
I have no idea.
The fine dining achievement is now advanced by consuming Feast of Truffle Steak Dinner and Feast of Spicy Lime Steaks. Rather than by learning the recipes for the feasts, players who already receive credit for learning recipes do not need to consume the feasts.
Huzzah!
That was like the first collection, one of them, and it's weird that they're changing it now. Isn't
yeah,
it? It's kind of weird.
It is kind of weird because I think, am I done with this one? I don't think I'm done with it. But well, I would think that most people would be.
I think it's probably, if I had to guess, it's for people who maybe just have a couple characters and they don't have a chef. So you don't have to become a chef and learn the recipe up to that level. You can just buy them from the...
But you still have to...
It only took them 3 years to fix it then.
You still have to eat it.
Yeah, but can't you buy them? Can't you buy the feast?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mostly, okay, yes.
I see. Yeah.
All right. For fractals, Last Laugh and Toxic Trail are now excluded from some creatures in the Shattered Observatory and Nightmare Fractals. This is...
I'm always glad to see those disappear.
Fantastic. And Last Laugh will now apply days instead of knockback. And Toxic Trail,
which is much better.
And Toxic Trail has had its visual size reduced and a thin red area of effect ring indicator has been added.
Which is also fantastic.
Yeah, so those are all really good quality of life changes just for making fractals a little less onerous. And moving on to items, blood rubies, petrified wood, and jade shard are now consumable items that award unbound magic equal to their previous salvage values when consumed.
So they're not salvage. So like they wouldn't take salvage charges, essentially.
They're like winter berries. You can just consume them now.
Okay.
And so there were a ton of WDub and PvP skill splits and bug fixes, most of which we discussed in our previous show. when we talked about the proposed changes. So we're really not going to go through them. But if you want to know more, check out the update notes from our last show. And pretty much it could be boiled down to things were increased, things were decreased in PvP and WDub.
And bugs were fixed.
Bugs were fixed. And
hopefully.
Scrolly.
Scroll through all and finally, the red.
For structured PvP, 4 weapons have been added to the Obsidian Weapon set. Both the Obsidian Weapon Box and the Mistforged Obsidian Weapon Box have been updated, and the new weapons are now available from the League Vendor and Skirmish Supervisor. The new weapon types include the Sword, Mace, Scepter, and Pistol.
So, which one's PvP and which one's World versus World?
They're all PvP and World versus World.
Okay, the name doesn't change regardless.
Oh, yeah. Because they're all obsidian weapons or whatever.
Yeah. Well, there's just the Mistforged. Oh, I see what you're saying. Never mind. I remembered how things work now.
Cool.
There are new items and promotions in the Black Lion Trading Company gem store. There is a new Alonian Beasts dye kit containing 6 exclusive colors. And it's available in the upgrades category for 125 gems. The colors are Hydra, which is like a deep red, Iboga, which is very lemony yellow, Choya, which I would say like a deep spring green. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Desert Harpy, which may be my favorite named one, which is, it's almost indigo. Like it's a rich blue. Sand Shark, which is like a royal or a bright sky blue, and Jacaranda, which is that green or brown?
Greenish, it's like a brown. Greeny
brown. Yeah.
It's like a brown, brown, bronzy green.
Yeah. I think the Desert Harpy is and Hydra are my 2 faves from this. And not because I love the name Desert Harpy so much, because I want that to be a title. I'm the desert.
Yeah, I like the Hydra. I even though it's kind of a
I feel like we've seen that before.
It's not too different from the blood something something one. I have one that's kind of similar. Actually,
the coral bloodstone coral.
I don't know. I'll have to look it up. Okay. I actually like the Jacaranda one. I know it looks a little off, but I tend to like.
I think.
Fall-ish colors, so that like olivey kind of color, I think could work as an accent for different, you know, setups.
I think it would look really nice on metal.
Oh yeah,
like metal accents for pieces. Like if you don't like super brassy golds, I feel like this would work really well.
It has an age to it.
Yeah. As well, for a limited time, the Bunny Ears, Wizard's Hat, and Ferocious Cat Ears return to the style category of the gem store. And the employees of the Black Lion Stables have left the continent behind and sourced the Isle of Istand and beyond to make a whole new collection of mounts available to you. The new Istani Isles mount licenses are available in 2 varieties. And the collection contains 15 new cosmetic options, 3 for each mount. And with this collection, we're introducing a new option to purchase specific mount skins from this collection based on feedback from the community. Players will be able to obtain these skins from the Istani Isles mount adoption license or the Istani Isles mount select license. The Istani Isles mount adoption license will allow you to claim a random mount from this particular set for 400 gems. The Istani Isles mount selection will allow you to choose a mount skin from the set of your choice, and it will be 1,200 gems per mount.
It's an okay compromise. I'm still not thrilled with them having loot boxes at all, but it's a good compromise.
It's a step in the right direction.
I'm okay with it because if I really, really wanted a specific one and like, I'm okay paying the 400 now that we've sat with them for a little bit, I'm okay with it. particularly because they have this option as well. So if I was like, there's only one in this entire set I want, and I don't want to pay the 400 gems to get everything but that one in the end, then it's a nice, you're right. It's a nice compromise. So, the next thing that they write, I want to hear your guys' thoughts on this one. So the original mount adoption license proved to be a popular item for mount skin collectors. So we want to continue offering the same level of variety to players who enjoy it, while at the same time offering players a way to get the specific skin they want. As we explained in our previous message, offering a random draw option makes it possible to design a wide variety of skins to suit every taste. We love seeing how players customize mount skins to suit their characters, and we hope you have as much fun using these skins as we did creating them. Now, to be honest, I understand that rationale, but it was the proof to be popular. I'm wondering if the statistics behind the scenes are showing something very different than the outrage
that
we saw on Reddit.
That was my first thought, too, was they may have a very different story based on numbers that we don't have access to.
Or they may be full of crap. We don't know.
Well, but also, you know, you tend to hear from the complainers and not from the people who are happy and like it. So it's hard to know.
Yeah.
I would say that just because people are quote unquote happy with it doesn't mean that it's right or ethical that they engaged in this behavior with the loot boxes. Mm. So.
Well, and part of me, to what you were saying, hashtag, or Hunter, I can't remember who said no, but I feel like they would not have worded proved to be a popular item. I don't think they would have said that at all. Like, I don't think they'd lie.
Are you sure they are? I don't know.
Well, it could also be the marketing team.
Of course they're going to say it's
popular. As in popular to talk about.
Oh, that is an interesting take that I hadn't considered. I don't think so. I don't think that's it. I think they would have said the original mount adoption license.
It proved to
that
be
we a had a lot of, like, I think they would have worded it different. Anyway.
It proved to be a popular item for mount skin collectors, which how many mount skin collectors were there before this? It's popular for mount skin collectors, which to me says of all the people that bought the mount skins, these were pretty popular.
It's almost talking about whales there, because if you're a mount skin collector, then you're willing to pay for the whole collection. And therefore it was popular with those people who were willing to do that.
Here's the thing. Like I never bought the winter package. So I bought the spooky one, which was prior to the mount adoption license. And I have not, other than the elegant raptor, resplendent raptor, sorry, I haven't bought individual or the packs. I have bought several adoption licenses where with the randomization. So
you are a whale. They've got you.
No, I kind of, I do.
You buy
like,
keys all the time with real money. You buy skins all the time with real money. Outfits all the time with real money.
You're a whale. But if that were the case, I would just have spent. I would not buy because I've come to the point where I'm okay with whatever I get out of this. So, but I like the fact that they have the two options now, and I'm just glad about it. Anyway, special note, the Istani Isles mount license set is entirely different from the original mount license set, which is still available. If you've unlocked all the skins from the original mount adoption license collection, you still have unopened licenses left over. Please contact customer support. So that is a thing. Like it's a nice option. I don't know if it's live in game yet. I forgot to check it, but I did see that Shaman had posted a screenshot of the mount adoption thing where it looked like you could see which ones you had unlocked from it.
Oh, so almost like a mount wardrobe.
Almost, but so you could like, I only have one left to, because you could forget, right? Like you can lose track, especially now that there's two adoptions out there. So I don't. But I'm not sure, like I just saw it on my Twitter feed today and I never looked too much into it. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And then with this comment, it makes me wonder if people were getting confused with how many they had left to unlock and they overpurchased.
Or if somebody gave you one as a gift or something like that, you could have an extra license.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
So let's talk about these. Also, I did buy two of the adoption licenses.
For science.
For the new ones. For science. So I got the Primeval Rabbit, or the Springer. And what was the other one?
You got the Thunder something Rabbit, the Sargol Thunderer.
Oh, yeah. I got two of the Springers. And I got the Sargol Thunderer.
Gems well spent. Springer skin.
I didn't have any. I like them. Skin,
but out of this pack, I absolutely adore the Oceanic Broadtail. I so desperately want that, but I'm not going to, like, there's no way that I'm going to spend the gems to try to get it. But I love, 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 love that one. And I love the Sky Bandit, the raccoon styled griffin. Oh, love those.
Yes. Did you have a favorite in there, Hunter? Are you abstaining?
I'm just thinking about how quickly it'll take someone to buy that mount skin.
Doesn't happen like that.
I love it. I never buy it for myself, but I love it, love it, love it.
For me, the Oceanic Broadtail is pretty great. You were surprised, Hunter, because I really liked the Primus Beta and like a lot. And you were a little surprised by that.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I don't like the striped one or the beta one. And it's just, they seem too inorganic for my taste.
Maybe that's what I like about it. And then the other one was the Griffin, the Exalted Sentry. Thought that was quite lovely. And I like them all, though. Like, I don't think there's one in here that I'm like, about at all.
No, so I saw a dev in Lion's Arch last night with the Ceylon cut, the jackal skin. And when I looked at it, you know, in pictures, it was kind of, okay. But when I saw it in person and it was dyed quite fiercely, it looked really impressive.
There was another Springer and I saw, and I thought maybe it was part of this set, but it clearly isn't. It's the Springer that looks almost camel-like in the face.
Do you
know the one I'm talking about? Because that's the one I was talking about, because it kind of like chews like a...
Isn't that the long...
When it's standing there?
The long hair, whatever, the one from the previous set?
I don't know.
The one that Hunter has. I don't know.
There was a weird-looking Springer.
I don't think it is. Anyway, I'd have to do some more look because I really like it.
There was one that was kind of antelope-y.
Yeah, but not. It wasn't the jackalope one. It's different. Like the face is very different than the Springer. So I'm wondering if it's one of the like mega expensive ones, but I don't know. And am I doing late polish? We don't have any.
All you.
The late notes? Oh, me. So there were some late notes for World Polish, Sandswept Isles, fixed a crash related to the catch as many fish as you can event. And I remember you were very excited about this, Hunter.
Yeah, finish the backpack.
And do you like the backpack?
I haven't even closely looked at it.
And then for a personal story for items, they fixed a bug that caused Omicron bandoliers to function as invisible containers.
Huzzah, huzzah, huzzah.
That doesn't mean that they fixed it so that stuff goes to that bandolier first, though.
Oh, maybe.
Is that what you were concerned about, hashtag?
I'm pretty sure. No, I mean, my problem was that it was invisible, so I couldn't salvage anything in it.
Okay.
And aside from that, there was a behind the scenes with the current activities team video that was put out by Guild Wars. Meet some cat people, that is, the members of the Guild Wars 2 current activities team, Alexander Youngblood, Joe Kimmis, and Brett Nellermo. Keep festivals running on schedule, create legendary weapons, bring current events into the open world, and populate your home instance.
Yeah, it's nice to finally see a showcase of the only team that matters. The team putting cats in my home instance.
I'm fine with that. I am waiting for dogs in my home instance.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm fine with cats, too.
And now it's time for the big news. Living World's Seat of Power. Since the day we began work on Guild Wars 2, we had a single dream guiding us. To allow the player to jump over small fences. But if we had to pick a close second, it was to add chairs and maybe let players sit in them. In that distant past, the technology wasn't ready for our vision. When Guild Wars 2 released, the Land of Tyria had chairs, and it had sitting, but players were unable to gracefully combine the two. Over time, stopgaps were implemented, like sitting as a chair and riding mounts, referred to in the in-game code as non-stationary chairs. But the dream of a complete chair experience remained in the realm of speculative science fiction. Until now, we're overjoyed to announce that for the second time in Gear Wars history, players can sit in chairs across the continent. That raid throne is more like one chair in multiple places, though, which is awesome. But now we're talking about over 1,400 chairs spread across 6 cities, 5 home instances, and 1 raid lobby. Plus, some of those chairs are benches, which are like 2 chairs for the price of 1.
I love this writing.
The future of chair sitting is bright. We're working hard to investigate chair sitability for the other zones, figure out the bar booths built entirely out of non-chair objects, and support more chair models. Get in the game and see the future happening now. You paid for the whole seat. Today you can finally use it.
I love this. It's so good.
Also, I love the fact that when you're on bar stools that you can rotate to face around. And I love that you can, there's certain emotes you can do in the chairs you're sitting. Mm-hmm. But you know which one isn't that I'm surprised about is slash talk.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. I would think that the RPers
would
like that.
We'll have to work on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they also released a video, Seats of Power, behind the scenes with the Guild Wars 2 Chairs Team.
Chairs Team!
Learn all about the innovative new way players can interact with the world of Guild Wars 2. And it was a great video, and it returned to form with this early April Fool's Day joke, I thought.
I think that really was an April Fool's. I think that it was an April Fool's idea that they expanded upon and then realized, like, this is a real thing, kind of like SAB, and they made it its own thing.
Probably accidentally released it a little early.
I'm not 100% certain, but I think it was an accidental release. There were some other things that came out early. I think the chair achievement was early. And there was like, I can't remember who told me this, but then there was like the dev said, screw it. We're just going live with this now. We're running with it. And so Hunter sent us, you and me, hashtag the trailer. And I was watching it and it's cut together with footage from Path of Fire release. And I thought for sure it was some fan made thing, like being like, ha ha ha, wouldn't this be funny? I had no idea it was an actual thing. And then when I said, this is the Guild Wars 2 official really channel. What is this? This makes it even better. This is so good.
Yeah, really funny. I was really surprised.
What was your favorite part of the video?
Probably when they're all sitting at that table that hashtag is included in our show notes of the circular table. That's circle of power has been formed.
My favorite is when they pan over to the people in the motion sensor.
That was my favorite.
Motion capture suits, and they're doing sitting.
They're doing the little cross leg sits and.
That was my absolute favorite. But then just the way that they were able to cut in when they're clearly talking about mounts for Path of Fire, and they're just shoehorning it into this seating thing. It was so good. So I'm looking forward to doing this achievement. And the fact they called it Seat of Power, I mean, it's so good.
Yeah, they also had some update notes to do with the chairs. They entitled the Furniture Polish. And there's like a whole list of like how many chairs they added and where. And I'll just go through a couple of them. Lion's Arch added sittability to 188 chairs. This is the site of the first sittable chair from which all others derive. The king of chairs. It's a secret which one. It's a secret which one it is. Radassum added sittability to 28 chairs. Realistically, the Asura could already sit on most objects comfortably. It's one of their many racial advantages. Applied Development Lab added sittability to 7 chairs for when you need a break from lab work harvesting resources. And a bunch of other stuff. And then I'll cut down to...
You had cut them out, and I'm like, hadn't realized there was some fun things around each one.
Yeah, I don't think I could read through all of them. So cutting down here to Lion's Arch Aerodrome added sittability to 1 chair. We don't expect that all players will be able to sit in this highly exclusive, challenging non-group chair content, but that is the price of prestige. And,
is it made of salt? they need a chair made of salt.
I don't know where it is in there yet. I'll have to go look. Add an incredible new collection quest achievement spanning the world of Tyria to sit in every currently available chair type. Finally, a reason to visit Holbrack.
I love it. I read ahead.
Finally, it's too good, especially considering earlier this evening when I finally went to Holbrack to get the chairs and could not remember where the personal instance was.
Oh my god.
Yes, we had to draw. You kept trying to go door. In like an exit. Yeah, hashtag you sure were. I never thought I'd see the word sittability so frequently.
And you can do more than sit in chairs. You can gesture while sitting in chairs. Mm-hmm. You can't sit while you sit, but a carefully curated handful of the game's emotes are available while sitting in a chair. Currently available emotes are wave, cheer, shrug, cross arms, laugh, and thanks. But wait, there's more chairs.
What?
Your guild hall chairs are also receiving the seating treatment with the following chairs now sittable. Basic chair, fancy chair, high back chair, guild chair, fancy armchair, plush armchair, Alonian wood chair, throne, pew, guild bench, plush sofa, haunted love seat. Oh, haunted love seat. I didn't know
you
that.
You can sit in all those?
Yeah.
And you can sit with a buddy in many of them. Oh, Hunter. Hunter. What? We can finally get our taxes done.
I don't have an office anymore after RO moved to...
You need to make a new office.
Probably. ArenaNet is not liable for injury, death, entombment, insult, rock, or similar gruesome fates that may result from unsafely placed chairs. Fixed a bug that caused sittability to not be a real word, according to the spell checker. If you complain about it now, you're incorrect. Sorry.
And I totally didn't see that when I was complaining about the fact that I had this underlined word repeatedly on my screen. It was irritating me.
And finally, while we're at it, we don't want to hear anyone griping about the exact chair counts per map. If we see posts tomorrow like, I counted every chair in Holbrack and ArenaNet was off by 1. GG. It's going to send us into a deep depression.
Are you going to count them?
Someone on Reddit already did.
Of course.
Or at least they titled their thread, I counted every chair in Holbrack and ArenaNet was off by 1. GG.
That's like commenting first on YouTube. Mm-hmm.
I love these types of posts. I love when the writers at ArenaNet are so good when they do these sarcastic, tongue-in-cheek posts, and it really engages the community. It's just so good. Back in December, ArenaNet announced that devs would be joining the official forums every other week for the ArenaNet forum chat. On March 15th, the inaugural chat was held, and we pulled out a few posts that we found interesting from the forum chats. And I just want to say kudos to ArenaNet for putting together this event. And most of their answers were thoughtful and thorough. I was impressed with just the length of, you know, the responses, and the content I thought was fairly good. And it remains to be seen if they keep the cadence of every other week. Originally, they were supposed to start in February. They were pushed off to March. So now we'll see. I think we should have another one in a week or so, end of this week, if they do keep the every other week cadence. I don't think I've heard whether or not they're going to do that. Have either of you heard if they've changed their minds on the timing?
Nope, I haven't heard anything about it.
I haven't heard anything specific about it. I always find it odd when they hem themselves into a specific time. It's like saying you're going to do a show every other week, but then you do it every 3 weeks. I mean, come on.
Only idiots do that.
All right.
So, Randolph.7614 said, or asked, is there any progress in dialing down a lot of the boss effects? A lot of your cool bosses are being swamped by all the visual noise. Istin was horrendous, but the same issue plagues the Simulcrams as well. What is a Simulcram?
Those are the bosses in the Sensor Battles meta.
Okay. And this is something that we ourselves have commented on and mentioned in various episodes. So CameronRich.3905 from ArenaNet responded, and he said, this is an ongoing discussion within the team, as the core of the problem may not actually exist where many would point towards, i.e. the boss's effects. The issue, as I see it, is the amount of effects created by players themselves and the length at which they persist. In many other games, player skills are flashy last for a short period of time, or in some cases, such as a super attack, take up the entire screen, but can only be launched once or twice per encounter. In our game, players have access to many abilities whose effects last for many seconds at a time, and those effects are noisy.
So here's the interesting thing. That's an interesting reply, because I don't think the question was ever about the boss's effects. It was about the number of players and their effects.
I think that people are aware it's not just the boss. Although, there were more comments in the thread, so maybe that was addressing more than just this.
Possibly.
On their own, these effects don't look to take up that much visual real estate. However, once you have 50 plus players all firing their abilities all at once, it quickly compounds into a blur of camera shake, motion blur, and artistic flavor that overwhelms that overwhelms the individual player's line of sight. This is called overdraw. While creating encounters that split players into lanes or force separate groups to complete objectives in differing map spaces, etc., can alleviate this issue, it doesn't solve it. At some point, there's a cap on the amount of overdraw that occurs in the game, and this can usually be reached with 20 to 25 players standing and attacking in a single spot. At that point, it's difficult to tell the difference between 20 players and 100 players using abilities. Other than that, the overdraw takes up more screen space overall. The saturation level has already reached its peak. I mean, only 20 to 25. That's crazy if you think about all the large scale meta events. You know, it's not.
That's not many players.
So how do we fix this? That's a tough question to answer. We're constantly trying to think of clever solutions to this problem, splitting player groups, creating spaced out objectives, designing encounters with less visual noise, all move towards solving this problem. However, its multifaceted nature means that there will always be some issues that can't be ironed out without a drastic overhaul of how our game draws player effects, or how the effects themselves are visually and mechanically designed, i.e.,
Is there not the possibility to remove or?
I mean, I think that
player effects?
People have asked that to be client size, so that client side, so that you could pick and say, like, I want to turn off other people's effects and keep on my effects, or something like that. And I've heard hem and hawing about how the engine would handle that, and also people saying, you know, well, what's the point of me getting my shiny thing if you can't see my shiny thing, you know?
But how is that different than due to population miniatures? Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know. It's one of those things where you wonder, in the grand scheme of things, is it something that they're saying, look, we're not going to be able to do anything about this with this engine. And until we swap engines and, you know, Guild Wars 3, we're really not going to be able to change much. And we're just going to have to kind of put a Band-Aid on it. I thought it was interesting, though, how they were saying that in order to deal with it, they tried to design lane-type activities, which makes sense if you think about Dragon Stand and
the marionette fight in season
right,
one.
Right. And the what's the fight in the desert? Why can't I think of it? Not in the desert. The
Serpent.
No. The old one. Yes, that is one.
But that is one.
Gosh, the one where there's the three lanes.
Oh, Silver Waste.
Yeah, so Silver Waste.
Oh, and also
Exactly.
The worm.
So it kind of makes sense that, like, triad approach, you can definitely see how they've used that in several different encounters. So, yeah. And then one other post that we pulled out from Daenery.5237 asked, how much behind the scenes knowledge do you guys have for your guiding canon that never makes it into player view? This is not a jab. The nature of the beast is that you'll have a bigger framework than can be shown in a game of this nature, but it does mean that sometimes we feel we are getting the glossy highlights and have to assume and infer a tapestry of detail. And Jessica Price responded to this, and she actually responded to a number of posts with some really great long responses. So I would definitely recommend going to read through those if you are interested in this.
And you too love Jessica Price.
I do.
You're fans.
Yeah, no, I actually, after I'm a fan. And particularly after reading some of these responses, I understand why ArenaNet hired her. And I think she's an asset to the team. So she said, when you're dealing with a game that's been around this long and has been constantly updating and building new lore, you have some areas that have an entire iceberg of work supporting them, and you only see a little bit of it above the surface. That's the way I prefer to do things, because I think the richness comes through even if the audience doesn't see all of it, and it makes for better informed decisions. So then she explains, when I was working on Pathfinder, I wrote a 64-page campaign setting book for one of the countries in the world. And before that, I wrote roughly 200 pages of content about the history and the surrounding political context and the food that they eat, none of which was intended to be published. Oh, and an 80-page reference grammar of the language they speak. And the reviews started coming in, and they were like, whoa, this feels like a real place. That's why.
Yeah, because it's real to her.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
There are pieces of Guild Wars 2 lore that are like that. Someone here loves that event or that character or that place, and there's a ton of internal canon about it. At the same time, when you've got a game that's this expansive, you can't do that for everything. We just don't have enough staff. So there are some bits where basically everything that exists is on screen. It's like if you've ever watched Spartacus on Starz, that show had a tiny budget for a historical epic series, and every dollar of their set budget was clearly on screen. You look at this bedroom the characters are in, and at first glance, you're like, yes, that's a lavish Roman bedroom. But then you realize that outside the ornate bed in the center of the screen, everything is basically just cleverly draped fabric, suggesting there's an expensive room there. And on the other hand, you have something like Lord of the Rings, where there was a ton of lovingly crafted stuff that was outside the camera's field of view. Sometimes we're Lord of the Rings, sometimes we're Spartacus. I love the metaphor. I love how she, you know, worded that. Mm-hmm. So great. So great. Internal canon can be a trap too. There are times when we've proceeded on the assumption that something we all know to be true has been said publicly, only to find out that we never actually said that.
And actually, it's a great reply, but it reminded me, for a while there, ArenaNet was posting like the blog posts to give a little bit more backstory to the things that were happening in the game. And I really liked those, but I mean, I'm sure they have reasons why they no longer do them. Like they can see, you know, the page statistics and all these sorts of things to see if anyone was actually, like, how many people were going to see them. But that I was thinking about those when you were,
yeah,
when we were talking about too, this if, earlier.
You know, once you publish it, it makes it super canon, you know, and you can't, it's harder to take back or change things a little bit. So I wonder if that's part of it too.
We have combined two sections for this particular one. Everyone has critiques about the games they play, but we like to keep things positive too. So in our Good Apples and Grumble Cakes segment, we asked you to send in your thoughts on one positive thing and one negative thing. And this is also a default mail carrier because IB Storage wrote us and they had to say, "Good day to you, our lovely, happy hostesses, and good day to you, Mr. Hunter. You mentioned that you rarely get mail, so I'm dropping you this one in the box. Even though I do not have the expansion yet myself, I do a lot of the research for my kids, so as they play through, I can answer their questions and help them find their way through the game. But as the family researcher, I was the first to see the Bug in the System trailer, which I loved. I fell in love with the new Fear Not This Night song, and like everyone else, really. I hope and wish they would make a full version. Heck, even if they put up what they have now on iTunes or other media, I would buy it, and I know my kids would also. So for my Apple is for the supposed dark Fear Not This Night on iTunes. Mm-hmm. Make it happen, people.
Agreed.
Yes. Mm. Agreed. Now for the Hunter Cake, I mean Grumble Cake section. We have one of
You're getting my squinty
the
eyes.
Greatest. We have one of the greatest gaming communities, but as I play, I'm noticing a big rush to get things done with no help to the other players. I am the filthiest of casual player. I've been playing since launch. But due to when I can play, I am doing things usually solo at an ungodly hour of the night to advance my story and progression on my squishy Ellie profession. Oh, yeah. Doing that. Mm. So please, all of you, give some love if you can, with a mesmer port to a mastery or a daily, or assist in a skill point fight or a revive. If they are anything like me, you never know how long they might have been trying to get it. I always tip the mesmer that gave me a port to some place and join a skill point fight if I am by it to help. Let's all stay awesome and not make someone grumble cake about us. Sorry for the rant. Don't be sorry for the rant. Also, I would like to mention an idea for a poll for future Guild Wars items, much like our beloved Blade Master Salona, named after our hosts. one of the hosts. one former show host that was named after myself and Celeste. Shout skill, Hunter shout. Oh, good grief.
It makes me sound like Charlie Brown. And these two are Lucy pulling the football out from underneath.
But you do like say that, Hunter.
I don't say good grief.
You do.
So yes, you do.
I swear like
you
a
do.
Sailor.
But you also
I say, don't
say
you
good
do.
Grief.
You do.
I say.
You also say, for God's sake, and for good and
I
and good
say
grief.
Good grief. I say. I take the Lord's name in vain viciously. And
Festy's in agreement with us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like she knows.
Oh, throw down. They also suggest a new emote, snort laugh. An audible snort laughing game would make me very happy, I have to say. Recipe, plate of big hash with sour cream. And legendary weapon named supposed scepter. Which means it has to look nothing like a scepter. Realistically, if they named it supposed scepter, it could not look at all like anything scepter-esque.
I'm okay with that.
And yeah. So thanks for writing in, Ivy. Those are great Good Apples and Grumble Cakes. And I think... Being there for the other players is always something we should strive for.
Agreed. Yep. And that's it. That is the show. So to get in touch with us, you can contact me, hashtag, on Twitter at #thetag. That's #HASH the tag. Or SIGG.1735 in game. You can tweet Hunter at Hunter's Insight. My whole page just jumped on Twitter. You can engage Alona at One Big Pair or in game at onebigpair.1249. And once again, our email address is hostsofascalon@gmail.com. That's right. It's just the name of the show at gmail.com.
Someone seems frustrated when they type that.
When I typed that, I was going to see if anyone thought it was you. but it was me.
We've been getting a lot of people telling us that they can't find our email, even though we mentioned it at the top of the show. We mentioned it on the Twitter profile. And yeah.
So now you know.
Now we're mentioning it in the outro because that's the only place it wasn't.
You can listen directly from our website at hostsofascalon.com. Grab the RSS feed to use with your preferred podcast app or subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. Coming soon, we will be on Spotify, TuneIn, and Amazon Echo as well. Although Alona hasn't set those up yet.
I haven't. We got a reminder email sent to us from
we're gonna do it
podcasting service.
And don't forget, we live stream the show at twitch.tv/hostsofascalon on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. Our next live Twitch show will be recorded on April 11th. So put that
absolutely without question.
Yep.
On pain of death.
Yep.
Yikes.
Uh-huh. Ooh, what?
Maybe not then.
So put that in your calendar. Good show, everyone. And if we don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Oh, that's nice. So I forgot to actually put in, what was it who was I telling? I got an in-game message out of the blue. And it was just like avocado toast or something like that. And I've been looking at my screenshots because I can't find it. And it was because I thought I had screenshot it. It was like, and they went, Miss Tell. I'm like, oh, that's okay. I was laughing about it because it was hilarious. Because it was like, I do like avocado toast. So if you're going to Miss Tell someone, that's the one to send right there.